welcome back to One and Done, Raising an Only Child, Not a Lonely Child. I'm your host, Jamie. My co-host, Kathy, will be back for the next episode. I will be going solo today because she was just starting her new job when this was recorded, and I wanted to add a little introduction just to let you know that I recorded this in the middle of August, and it's based on feedback from dozens of parents who replied within our Facebook group where Kathy and I met, which is for Mothers of Only Children. We definitely want to be inclusive of fathers, but we just ended up crowdsourcing that group. So if you're wondering how parents are balancing working and distance learning and having a child in the home and what other people are doing with an only child, then this is a great episode for you. I know I learned so much, and I want to thank each and every person who responded. We really hope that this is helpful. And on with the show. We wanted to reach out to our network to present you with a wide variety of experiences of what different moms and dads and parents and caregivers are doing and how the heck people are surviving, holding down jobs with one child, presumably in the home, or just having one child, right? That's our commonality. How are people making this work? Have you ever asked yourself that? I know I have, because honestly, I have such a hard time some days without having work responsibilities that to have professional responsibilities on top of day-to-day parenting, if you're in that position, you know, I don't know what to say. That doesn't sound like cliche, but I hope you can give yourself credit for just holding it down and making it through each day. And before things get too corny, we're going to be giving you specific examples of what parents are doing. Now, this episode is time-stamped, as are all the episodes. If you look in the show notes, which would be easily accessed just, you know, in your podcast app, you can email us if you have any questions about that. Anyway, if you look in the show notes, you can see that we have labeled by the time of the episode whichever topic we're talking about, and we're doing it by age. So we start with the under fives, then we go to the 6 to 12s, the teenagers, and a few other kids we weren't sure how old they were, because we put out this call to a number of people either in our lives or in our online networks or in our group where we met for, the group was actually for mothers with only children, but there are other groups for parents. There should be a group for fathers. You know, fathers, you are welcome if you're listening. This isn't just for moms or grandparents, whoever you are. Hopefully you know by now this is a very inclusive community where we just want to be of service and of use, because we think only child families are awesome and have unique challenges and opportunities, and very much that is the case for working parents right now. So without further ado, let's get on with it so you have some specific examples and takeaways. Now, the first response, I'm just going to read it in the order we received it. This is the under fives. So again, if your child is older than five, you can skip ahead. We're going to talk about each of the age groups that I just mentioned. So our first respondent is doing a lot. If that is not you, for example, I read this and I don't have the bandwidth to do all this and I'm not even working. So please be kind to yourself. I'm giving all the examples that we got. We have about 20 in total, because something is going to resonate with someone, you know, and just we're hoping some inspiration will strike just to help you and your child survive and thrive. So this is what she says. She says she has a five-year-old son and she works from 8 to 5 in the auto industry. Currently, her husband is also working full time from home, but he's about to go back to the office. So it sounds like she herself is working from home. Her husband will help if her son needs to go potty when she's in a meeting, because he still needs help wiping, but that's it. So that's hard. And some of us may be in the same boat with our spouses who, for various reasons, are not able to switch into parent mode easily, or for whatever reason or not, we don't perceive them, or perhaps they indeed are not as helpful as would be ideal. And that's hard. And that's all I'll say about that. I know I'm very lucky to have the spouse that I have. And we do have an episode coming up for single parents, and we have several single parents featured in the following responses as well. So anyway, this woman says that she spent some time in the beginning of all of this doing some lesson planning. She says she got age-appropriate workbooks. She found subjects to teach about. So, for example, different holidays, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Earth Day, growing plants and gardening, flowers and bees for the spring. So presumably this is what she's already done with her son. Science stuff related to each of these things. She tries to rope in other daily learning, like chores, for example. Again, this is for a five-year-old son. Vacuuming, dishes, folding his laundry, and she's been teaching him about cooking easy things. I know my daughter's preschool teacher recommended we make bread, and I am so not that person, but I'm trying to open my mind and, you know, allow myself to be more domestic, and so we have made some bread, just from a mix. Anyway, I only share that because sometimes kids learn so much from cooking, and it's a great way to have, you know, 20 minutes or so preparing it, have that bonding time before you need to go back to work. And then when the oven timer goes off, then hopefully you can maybe take a break. I don't know what your situation is, but anyway, so let's see. She says we're working on independence to get ready for kindergarten or maybe first grade in person. So again, a lot of us are not sure when our kids we'll be in person. We're all in different situations with this. But as for her work schedule, she says she wakes up early around 6-ish and starts working between 6:30 and 7. So she jumps right into it. She says, my son now goes to bed late, 11 or 12, and sleeps till 10-ish. So I get at least 3 hours of quiet work done. You know, mentioning the relatively late bedtime reminds me, I am sharing all of these responses from other parents with you just so you can see how other families are doing it, because sometimes it's hard to get a window into different ways of coping. A lot of different ways of doing this can be valid. So Kathy and I on this show, we really strive to not be political, not be judgmental, right? None of us need more of that in our lives right now. So no comment on anything. Again, surviving is good. We just want to be supportive. So I just wanted to say that as a quick aside. We're not commenting on whether your kid is going to camp or school or virtual or homeschool. You know, you gotta do what's best for you. But this is what some of the other parents out there are doing. So anyway, her five-year-old son goes to bed late, 11 or 12, sleeps until 10-ish. That means she gets at least 3 hours of quiet work done. When he wakes up, he gets his own breakfast and eats quietly next to me at the table while I work. Then we try, she capitalized the T-R-Y, the try, so that presumably this doesn't always happen, but we try to have a bit of a schedule like school. He plays a little and then we start some sort of a lesson. Many of my lessons have been aided by PBS documentaries. They're a bit old for him, but he fell in love with the space ones. He enjoyed some of the nature ones. And he will do some workbook stuff while I'm in a meeting or use ABC Mouse, PBS Kids, Epic, or Tappity apps, all which help with science, math, and reading. He does these things as well as playing while I have meetings or I finish quick assignments. And that was a common theme that came up in reading these responses, is that some screen time seems inevitable. Again, we are really trying not to weigh in on that. These are tough times. And people have different views on screen time. And screen time varies in terms of quality. And our children are different in terms of how they're impacted by the screen. So this is what works for this family. And this is how they're coping. And I'm going to, I think I will list the different specific things referenced. So for example, she referenced PBS Kids and Epic. I know my daughter also likes PBS Kids. My daughter's 4. And we were reading audiobooks on Epic for a while. And that was great. I think the first month was free. Hopefully that's still the case. But anyway, if you don't have a pen or, you know, you don't want to have to go back and find this, don't worry, because in addition to listing all this content by topic and timestamp, you can also look at the bottom of the show notes. All of the resources referenced will be listed there. So let's see. He does these things as well as playing while I have meetings or finish quick assignments. I usually ask him about what he learned while I get a break or while we eat lunch. So that's, you know, that's generally good to do. What did you learn? Instead of just kind of turning them loose on the screen, you can have a little conversation if possible. And later in the afternoon, when she can take a break from work, she helps him with an art project or a craft while she does some more quote-unquote easy work. Ooh, I don't know how one can juggle helping with a craft and working, but sometimes I guess you just have to, and this person seems pretty great at multitasking. I think we all have to know ourselves. But cool, cool. So they do a craft while she has, I guess, some more easy work. I have a friend who works, I think she's a caseworker in the criminal justice system, and she basically is on call, so it's great. She can kind of be there with her child, and then at the last minute, she'll have to head off and do some work, but at least when she's on, she's on. When she's off, she's off. So let us know what it's like for you. We would love to do a follow-up episode on this, just kind of sharing more responses so that people could have as many ideas for potential inspiration as possible. But getting back to what this woman does as a parent, our first respondent, she says that they have what they call recess. So recess for them is usually two times a day. She mentioned something called Go Noodle. Have you heard of that? I haven't. Or just going outside, they have a swing set. So lucky for individual recess. So presumably they have a yard. Not all of us have that. We you know, in my case, we do, but I know everyone's got a different situation. But anyway, she says, in the evening after about 5 or 5:30, we will jog, ride bikes, or do Zumba together, which is, you know, exercise time for mom as well. Then he either plays while I cook or helps me make dinner. Another side note, we are working on an episode on independent play. I don't know about you, but this has been one of the hardest things for me to help my daughter learn or for her to learn. And it could be that at age 4, she's right on time and is simply just not in a headspace to do a ton of independent play yet because she's learning other things, and that's perfectly okay. It could also be that maybe she hasn't really had a lot of chance to practice it, and that's where I come in. So it's a balance. But we are working on an episode that provides specific tips for helping our children learn to play by themselves, because we could all use that, and I'm sure that would be a great skill for them too. So anyway, this little 5-year-old boy will play while she cooks, or he'll help her make dinner, which, you know, kids love to do when possible. Now, after dinner, depending on how busy work is, she often logs back on and does some work. Then her husband gets done working just as they're eating dinner, but will play with their son after dinner cleanup and until bedtime on most days. This is the longest response I got, by the way, but it has so much specific detail that I thought, you know, maybe it could provide a useful model or template for someone out there if you're one of those people that likes schedules, which personally I haven't been able to maintain, but if you're able to do that, go you. So she says it's not ideal, but she says, I can see he's learning a lot, so I don't worry at all about his academic stuff. There is not much social interaction, though. Yeah, that's something we're all concerned about, I know. She says, excuse me, I hope he will be okay in that respect. We try to connect with friends over FaceTime Messenger, but he doesn't like that too much. A lot of kids don't. I know my daughter has no interest in Zoom. Also, she says that she hasn't found the balance of taking good care of herself yet. We're working on an episode about that as well. You know, that capital S for self-care is such a trendy topic, but when you're just in survival mode, it can be incredibly hard, especially when you're exhausted and you just want to watch Netflix or what have you. So she says she's working on the balance. There's almost zero me time. Is that relatable? Anyway, zero me time. And that's something that she says she needs to work on as this extends into the school year. And get this, she says, there are days when I feel like I'm falling apart. It's all exhausting. I'm thankful to be able to do this and spend so much time with my son. And I definitely do not feel like I'm able to be present with work or my son. And that was a theme, that tension between being present for work and one's parenting role is definitely a theme that runs through all of the responses that we received. Now, our next respondent wears three hats, that of an employee, a teacher, and a parent of a child under the age of 5. So I asked her a little bit about how she schedules activities and if that schedule has needed to be adjusted or tweaked, and especially kindergarten prep, because she mentioned she's doing kindergarten prep for her son. So this mother said, and I'm keeping this anonymous just because I couldn't remember who wanted to be anonymous and who didn't. But she said, initially we would start with 1 hour rotations where each hour would have kind of a theme to it. The first hour was getting dressed and shaking our sillies out with various kids' dance videos. That sounds fun. After that was done, he would have 2 or 3 laminated worksheets to practice letter and number writing. So this is pretty regimented. I'm curious to see how sustainable this was, but it's a very admirable concept. The next hour would transition to the computer, and he would work on the Scholastic website Storyline Online, another one called Kazoo. And again, I'll be listing all of these in the show notes. And he would also do whatever online storytelling their local library offered. That's cool. The next hour would be online live videos of art classes from our local zoo. So it's all screen time, but notice how different it is. So I don't know, maybe that helps that it's broken up. She's obviously doing the very best that she can, and he's likely learning a lot. She says, we found pretty quickly that didn't hold his attention. Psych. So that turned into tablet time, because that would also be the time that my work would be most demanding on my attention. During lunchtime, he got an hour mostly to himself to watch TV and eat while I plowed through my work as fast as possible. That sounds so stressful for her, but fun for him. We would then have outdoor playtime or play video games together. After that, I would put on a quiet movie and turn down the lights so he could have quiet time while I tried my best to make it through the majority of the rest of my work. For the rest of the day, we would do centers, and he would get the option of blocks, Play-Doh at the kitchen table only, costume play, or coloring. So again, the centers were blocks, Play-Doh, costume play, or coloring. I might actually use that. I think that's very clever. She says this worked really well for a couple of months. Awesome. But wasn't totally sustainable. Yeah, I mean, I could see that too. She said, since then we've adjusted so that he gets a later start to the day and gets some time to himself in the mornings. Yeah, I mean, sometimes our kids just need downtime, you know, don't we all? She says, now I'm the one reading books to him between my work, and we have themed weeks. So maybe it's switched less it is now no longer based on by the hour, and it's becoming more of a weekly theme in this family. She says, I've been checking out loads of books from the library. This week is the American Revolution. Timely. We also do wipe clean workbooks for sight words and basic mathematics. I've been adding in themed color by number letter sight word worksheets. I'm going to Google all this up because my daughter's just learning how to write letters. Hopefully this is helpful to someone out there. And for the millionth time, I'm listing all of this in the show notes, okay? And we really hope this will be a helpful sort of composite of ideas that we've received from other parents of solo children, you know, because we're all in the same community. We're all in the same boat. We gotta support each other through this. She says, we've added in extra activities here and there, like scissor practice or phonics. Occasionally these days, my son gets a lot of autonomy over his day. If he wasn't an only child, I really don't think we could do this the way that we are. It means that the after-lunch playtime is really dependent on me being a play companion, which is exhausting when it's smack in the middle of my workday. I heard that. I also think his age is a factor to our success. We couldn't do any of this at 3 years old. He turned 5 in May, and I'm not even sure we could do this right when he turned 4. I feel pretty confident in his handwriting, letter identification, number identification, basic phonics and creative skills. He's wonderfully average as far as we can tell, not gifted or anything. Oh, I love that she said that. Wonderfully average. And, oh, by the way, we will have episodes coming up for special needs, you know, specific special needs situations and perhaps for quote-unquote gifted children, although I don't really understand what that means. But if there's a need for that, I will learn about it and we'll make it happen. So she says, here it gets real. We have rough days. Surprise. We all do. Yep, we all do. I'm glad she added that. So she says what has helped them is that she created a color chart to help with that. And the audio cut out here, so I'm not sure what happened with the color chart. Whoever submitted that, if you hear this, please go ahead and write us and give us more details. In the meantime, apparently I went on a tangent about the resilience of being an only child, which sounds like a good thing. So here we go with that.
And self-reliance and inner strength that comes from being an only. You know, just like you learn great lessons from a sibling, you learn great lessons from being an only. It's not better or worse. And all of the above lessons can be learned in different ways. There's no one way to be in a family or to learn the things we need to learn in life. So back to her response. She says, I recently learned that I won't be going back to the office this calendar year, and I've tossed around the idea of taking our district's online learning programs. I think what we did at the beginning of lockdown really set some good foundations.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. I mean, go mama. Ooh.
So again, this is not a comparison thing. If you're listening and you're feeling like a failure, please don't. You know, I was just speaking with other parents, one of whom also has an only child, and she was feeling like a failure, and I get it. I can relate, but she's so not. And you, if you're listening to this and you're trying, you're probably not too. I mean, you're definitely not. You can definitely reach out. I have our email in the show notes if you're looking for support or more specific ideas that would be helpful during this time. But another common theme throughout all these responses is just how hard these parents are on themselves, even though they're just trying so hard and they're giving everything. And if you're listening to this, if you could just give yourself a little bit more grace today, a little more grace, a little pat on the back, a little self-kindness, a little understanding, that would be such a wonderful thing for you and your child. So our next respondent of a child under 5 currently works 4 days at home and 1 day at the office. Okay, 4 days at home. All right, not bad. So this person is a nurse practitioner with a high-risk population. So what happens in her family is that her daughter is back at daycare / camp 5 days a week. So now she can actually get work done. And her husband is disabled, so he was limited in what he could do other than maybe a little play here and there when she was on a conference call. So she says, I fully admit to too much TV during the home from school time and quickly tired of Daniel Tiger. Yes, been there. It's okay, mama. It's okay. So what they actually have ended up doing was camp. I realize we're all going to have different opinions on that, but it sounds like it's working for this family. And again, we're not getting into politics or anything like that. We are non-judgmental here. And that is what they are doing. And if this mama, I'm just going to call her L because that's the first initial of her name. If you hear this, thank you so much for your response and for your work as a nurse practitioner with a high-risk population. We are so grateful. So our next response is also a shorter one. This mama, I'll call her Jay, is working from home during COVID with a university communications job. So she has a 4-year-old at home, and her husband works in a supermarket. So he works outside of the home. So, oh, get this. So what they've done is that they got their 14-year-old niece to come about 12 hours a week, and that started back in June. That has been a life changer. So she says, I didn't feel like a guilty mother or employee and my only child gets some stimulation and playtime with someone else. Oh, I'm so glad they were able to do that. I know that's not possible for everyone, but sometimes if we, you know, are willing and it seems like a logical thing and we make that leap, it can be helpful. Again, I'm not trying to weigh in or tell you what to do, but them having their teenage niece has been such a relief for them, and so that's fantastic. So our next respondent, I'll call her JR. She says she has a 3-year-old boy, and she says she's always desperate for connection with other moms and resources, especially now. Yes, we all are. And she's a teacher. And thank you also for your service, JR, as a teacher. So she says she's majorly sweating out how she's going to teach whenever we resume school, if my son is not in childcare. It was practically impossible in the spring. While technically now I'm on summer break, she writes, I'm having to juggle preparing for the fall meetings and work during his nap time. So that was another theme in our responses, was working during nap time. It sounds incredibly stressful, and I don't know how people turn their brains on just at will because, oh, he's napping, it's go time. Because I would always pass out when my daughter used to nap, but it's a survival thing. I mean, folks just have to. These are tough times. She says, yeah, working during his nap time, and also it's hard being his constant playmate, right, when he's awake, because we can't go anywhere or see anyone right now. My husband works from home, and although he can and does give me breaks, it's just not enough. Yes, that was another theme, and this is not a pile-on on the husbands. Husbands, if you're listening, thank you for tuning in. We are definitely going to branch out and have more responses from fathers. We just happened to have a respondent pool that was all mothers this time around, and, you know, I think all partners are stressed out, but yeah, we definitely did hear this theme of just it not being enough, or just, I don't know what to say. This is what she says, though. She says, I feel every day I'm near the breaking point, and those are the good days where we've gotten out of our jammies. She says, what helps me the most is getting off my high horse of previously limiting screen time, and also communicating with my son that he has to play independently while I have some mommy time. I set a timer for about 15 minutes, and we're working up to 30 minutes. And during this time, she says she drinks her coffee or reads a book. She does that at least twice a day. We're both getting better at it. And regarding screen time, she says she and her husband have come to grips with the fact that they're using it several times a day. And that's where they're at, and that's okay. And thank you so much for your response. I am just in awe of how people are making this work. And then finally, for the under fives, we have a respondent who is working from home with a 4.5-month-old, an infant. She says she's barely keeping it together. She says, I feel like I am not 100% for her or my job. Let me read that again, because that is so deep and that is so relatable to so many folks in this situation. She says, I feel like I am not 100% for my baby or my job. I feel overwhelmed and tired, and half the day I pray for naps that she takes in a baby carrier. I want to cherish this time with her so much. I am 45 and did many years of fertility treatments, and I feel like I'm just doing anything I can to get through the day. It makes me so sad. Reading this made me so sad too. Not in a judgmental way of this mother who is just doing everything that she can to support her child, both in her maternal role and as a breadwinner. But just that so many are in a similar situation and the toll that it's taking on families, you know, my heart hurts for her. I wonder, you know what? I can't give advice because I'm sure this is a resourceful person and she's weighed her options. I just wish it were possible for everyone to have, you know, like that 14-year-old niece that the other respondent had, just someone in their lives who could come over and just provide some relief and some break so that this mother could give 100 to work and then switch and give 100 to her child. And I don't know this person or her situation. This is not one of the people that I know personally, but I please know that Yeah, I have nothing to add. And a lot of you, unfortunately, are probably relating if you have babies. If you have advice, email us. Our email is in the show notes. I'm not even working. I was looking for a mother's helper recently just to have a little bit of time to work on this and also attend to my own, like, sanity. Please know, if you're working in parenting, you have all my respect, and anyone who judges you can just stuff it because you're doing what you have to do. So moving on, we move on to the 6 to 12s. So our next respondent has a 10-year-old and is working full-time and has been working from home since March as well due to the virus. So initially she says it worked out well because her 10-year-old school kept a consistent schedule of Zoom classes. Yeah, I would imagine to some extent it might be easier for the older children. Maybe I'm wrong. You can email me, but I know my 4-year-old has no interest in Zoom. None. So she says that consistent Zoom schedule with the school really helped the family, and it allowed the mother to get more done, of course, while her daughter kept busy. Now that school is out, Well, she says she's enrolled her in various virtual camps, and that is working for them. So that's great. In addition, she says she found a few devices to allow her to practice both tennis and volleyball, by herself. I wonder what those are. I didn't follow up about that. So I'm not sure these devices are virtual or, you know, like some sort of batting practice device for tennis or volleyball. I'm thinking they're probably virtual, but sounds like they're trucking along. And then next for the 6 to 12s, we have a lawyer who is a solo parent. Shout out to the single parents who are listening. We have a whole episode for you coming up, but I just wanted you to know that you are represented here. And I think at least one or two of the under fives that I read earlier were also single parents. So anyway, she's a lawyer, human rights lawyer, with a 12-year-old daughter, and is a single parent, as I said. So what they do in their family is they take things day by day. They did have a bit of a schedule during the school year, but as of the time she wrote in the summer, it was a challenge to maintain. So this mama's work schedule varies anywhere from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and a lot of her work ends up shifting to the weekends or evenings. During the day, her 12-year-old daughter tends to keep busy with music, Netflix, baking. With music, I'm wondering if the daughter's listening to music or playing an instrument. I mean, either one is cool. I love when kids can learn instruments if they're interested in that. I'm so grateful I learned piano, even though I do nothing with it, and I'm very mediocre at it, but I don't regret learning it. So she does music, Netflix, baking, making videos, drawing, and chatting with friends. Very industrious, and this is me adding my own little sidebar here. This was another theme, is that the older only children are really learning how to structure their own time. If you have a child who is older, you know, older than at least 6, and is capable of setting some of their own goals and, you know, designing their own time and taking ownership of their own time a little bit more, so we're not telling them what to do all the time, those are tremendously important life skills that your child will always be able to draw from. And this is a great opportunity, if you look at it that way, for them to learn how to structure their time, set their own goals according to their own core principles. I think that is great in the process of individuating. I'm kind of geeking out here, but I'm all about encouraging individuation in an age-appropriate way. And so this 12-year-old is just rocking it and just doing what she loves. That's wonderful. Now, the mother does say, she says, I admit I rely on TV and technology far more than I'd like to as a sitter. Hey, no judgments here. I told you, no judgment zone. And she says, you know, since it's the two of us, I try not to judge myself. Good for you. She says, yeah, I try not to judge myself so harshly. I know I'm doing the best I can, especially as a full-time human rights lawyer. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I hope, by the way, this is the middle of the episode. I hope some of these responses have been helpful. Just a friendly reminder to leave an honest review. Keep in mind that Kathy and I are just moms just like you, and we know this isn't super polished, but we really do want to know if the content is relevant to your family and if it's helping you, and what else we can do in terms of future episodes that would be most useful to your situation as the parent of an only child. So, 6 to 12-year-old, continuing, we have a parent who works from 8 to 5, and her daughter is 7 years old, a rising second grader, and they live in the South. They live in Alabama, so they haven't had school since mid-March, and she's been working from home, as has her husband, but he still actually travels 70% of the time. Oh, he's adjusting. He used to travel 70% of the time, so it's been a big adjustment, I can imagine. So the first week of quarantine, they had their babysitter come over during the peak hours where both of them had meetings scheduled. Then they decided they should no longer do that after cases started to increase in order to keep themselves safe. So they stayed in their bubble very tightly. And she has asthma, and a few years ago had pneumonia after ignoring a sinus infection and had to take antibiotics. So you get the idea. This person is at a higher risk for COVID complications, and for that reason has made the decisions that they have made. So then as the quarantine has continued, they got a little more structured in April and May because they had online schooling. But for them, it was a mess, she says. She knows teachers are trying so hard, and it's not their fault, but it was just, and a lot of you can probably relate to this, you know, despite all the wonderful work that teachers have been doing, it's been a mess for a lot of people. You know, no clear location for the assignments or the handouts or the videos. Eventually, they started to get the hang of it. This mom would spend time on Sunday night to dig out the assignments and would give them to her daughter. So moving forward in the fall, if you're doing online school and you're listening to this, maybe that would be helpful to have sort of a preparatory day on Sunday night. And then her daughter would complete the work on Monday and Tuesday and would use Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as her self-development days. Ooh. So what did that mean, self-development days? They got her a Duolingo account so she could study Japanese. Go, girl. And she's also learning American Sign Language. She was influenced by the American Girl of the Year, Joss. I'm assuming Joss is a deaf individual. Oh, that's so cool. I would love to learn both of those languages. We decided to get her a craft subscription box since we know that's something she enjoys a lot. That's great. I will do a quick aside. And when I say that's great, I'm just appreciating all the effort. I'm not making a value judgment on which mom's response I personally like better or anything like that. But I did want to add that in our family, we are ordering a subscription box as well. We are ordering from Sankofa. You can look it up and I'll put it in the show notes. I believe it's pronounced Sankofa. And they have basically crafts and sort of tactile things that are great for either mature 4 to 5-year-olds, but probably all the way up to 8 or 9-year-olds, honestly. And then we also had ordered from Kiwi Co, which is more STEM and building. Our 4-year-old is pretty mature for her age, but she was not ready for Kiwi Co, so we had to cancel that. I think someone who's this child's age, around 7, would love it. I mean, one of the kits had a build your own grabber, you know, like one of those things where you squeeze and it's like a long arm and it has a hook that grabs onto things. Just fun stuff like that. It took time and you learn about mechanics and you have fun. So I'll put links to those sorts of craft subscription boxes if that interests you. Of course, it is an investment, so that I'm sure has to be weighed. And also, they would, getting back to this woman's response with a 7-year-old, they would schedule Zoom conferences with friends. They had a few virtual tea parties here and there. The kids would dress up. The moms and dads would make tea snacks. And they brought out the fancy teacups. It was pretty fun. What a wonderful idea, eh? However, once school was over, they started struggling, you know, lacking structure and it was really hard sitting down and coming up with a schedule together. I'm going to jump in here again. What I was saying about kids structuring their own time sounds really good as an ideal, but only you know if your kid is ready to do that. And anyway, in this case, this mom said that it was just really hard to come up with a schedule together. And it was also hard because a lot of her friends were going out more, visiting grandparents, going to the beach, and she had to stay at home and think of things to do. So she ended up spending a lot of time on Netflix and YouTube and Disney Plus, and the parents were not happy, and there was arguing. So they eventually just broke down and realized, we can't do this anymore. And they looked into summer camp, and they found one at their local botanical gardens. Again, this is down in Alabama. And this particular camp has so many COVID safety measures in place, this mom writes. So we felt safe enough to send her there. They check her temperature, require masks indoors, constant social distancing, and most activities are conducted in an outdoor pavilion. Within a couple of days, my daughter was back to her happy self again. That is so great to hear. She says, we are aware of the risks, and I calculated the list of her getting infected and passing it on, and the pro-con list of, well, I'm sorry, I sort of lost the sentence there because the sentence trailed off, but obviously they made a pro-con list. And with the measures in place, we felt the benefits that she would receive from attending the camp, such as better mental health for daughter and mother, outweighed the risks of infections, she says. Yes. Well, that was the choice, and it sounds like it's working for them. She says that the camp attendees are very limited, so they're spread apart, that I feel safe enough. And she says that she looked over her company's emergency COVID leave policy. Does your company have an emergency COVID leave policy? Is this a thing that most companies have now? I don't know. I've been out of the workforce for a little bit. It sounds like a very good thing. I doubt every company has it. But looking at leave in general, she figured out how to basically take a mini vacation. So people are getting really creative, you know, with the camps and the leave in order to make things work. Obviously, camp is expensive. She writes that the cost of camp went up about 20% to cover the revenue lost on having to limit the size. So only you know if that's going to be possible. I wish it were possible for each of our children, if that was a choice we desired for them. And a lot of the 6 to 12 year olds, the parents of 6 to 12 year olds wrote that they are struggling on the back to school decision, of course. Traditional, online. Please email us and let us know what you're doing. We don't judge you. We're just trying to get a feel on the pulse of all this. I know Kathy can share more because she's actually going to be working full-time in a school as a nurse, and I'll let her divulge whatever she wishes to do about that. But it is a big change for her, and I believe her son is doing hybrid, so she can talk more about that. Personally, my daughter's only 4. We are homeschooling. We're very lucky we're able to do that, and we feel very at peace about that. But I know a lot of people are still up in the air, and schools are changing at the last minute. I have an acquaintance from college who teaches music out in Nebraska, and after a few weeks of preparing for the fall, they just scrapped it. They were like, there was no way we can make this work safely and humanely, and it's going to go virtual. And so I cannot imagine the stress if you're trying to plan your professional responsibilities and you don't even know if your child is going to be in school or you'll have childcare or not. And I don't know what to say that will help that. You are very not alone, not alone. And again, you can reach out and email us, and I don't know what we can do for you, but it would be helpful just to know what other parents of solo children are dealing with. One more thing. Well, this sort of harkens back to the under fives, but she says she has a colleague with a toddler who just worked around the clock, again, during naps or catching up on weekends. But some of us are either in work mode on or off. So each of us knows how we best function, how we best work. This particular mom says she does a lot better with the 8-to-5 schedule. So next we have a parent of a 6-year-old who is actually the leader of a major corporate brand. I'm not sure if she wanted me to say the name of it for confidentiality reasons. Not that there's anything to be ashamed of, but not all of us want our family business out there on the internet for everyone to hear. However, she is a big corporate honcho, let's just say, and has a 6-year-old son in kindergarten and also has a small business with her husband that they run together. She says, life is busy, but we have made it work. How? How? Well, let's hear about that. So she says, and this is really refreshing, I think, to hear. She says, maybe I'm not the model parent because we don't have schedules for him. He pretty much hangs out, plays on Switch, watches TV, plays with toys. When school was in session, it worked out that my husband took us to our store. I'm not sure if I was allowed to say the product, but to the store where they have a business. And so that helps because he had, I guess, a bit more structure because, you know, it's time to go to the store. It helped him get dressed and quote unquote go to school and kind of hammer it out. It was good just to get out, right? It's good to get out, get away from the distractions. And they are very grateful, apparently, that things are slowly opening back up in their area. And he's another one who's in camp. So this 6-year-old is in tennis camp now and has had a few play dates. We have sent him to daycare a few days to see his buddies and get some kid interaction. So essentially, they're doing tennis camp, occasional play dates, and daycare a few days a week. So this kid is 6 years old. He's having a pretty full schedule. Again, I'm assuming they can afford this because of being the leader of a division of a major brand and having their own business, which I'm sure they worked very hard for, and that's how they can afford all of these things. So let's hear from this is another one that's super refreshing, super real. This one is working from 9 to 5, 3 days a week, and then in the office the other 2 days. We really wanted to represent a full range of different work schedules for this episode. So this one has a 7-year-old, and I said, you know, what is helping you get through this? How are you functioning? She says, hey, we don't function at all. I'm sure they do, but I love the candor. She says they rely on one babysitter for the 2 days a week that the babysitter is available, because otherwise it wouldn't be feasible since they're a much higher price than summer camp before or after care. So basically they found a babysitter that they can afford for the 7-year-old for 2 days a week. And on other days, she says it's basically me working all day while in the mornings, working all day. So she makes a basket of snacks and food for the day, and the kid just helps herself. And, you know, the mom tells her to be quiet every time the phone rings because, you know, she has to. And that's really hard. However, this child is 7, and hopefully she's old enough to understand a little bit more, I would hope. I don't know. My kid's not that old yet. Y'all can let me know. You know, and every child is different, but it sounds like this one is pretty independent, you know, because she has to be. So there are pros or cons of that, but what choice do they have? She's well fed. The mom gets up, makes these snacks, and she's got the babysitter. You know, sometimes we focus so much on what our kids don't have that we devalue what they do have and how resilient that they are. Next, we have JM, who has worked from home for the past 3.5 years as a proposal manager and also has a child in the 6 to 12 age range, an 8-year-old to be precise. So their daughter is in summer camps with friends throughout the summer. The daughter's usually in summer camps, but this summer they were not able to do that. And she says, I feel like a failure 100% of the time, because she plays computer games, which she is now addicted to. Plus, her husband started working from home back in March, and he will return to the office at some point, but that point is uncertain. We try to engage with her throughout the day, but she's now started chatting with online friends who play the same games. so we often can't shake her from the computer, as it's now her hobby of choice. We're having tremendous difficulty imposing limits and rules at this moment. But we do monitor her screen time and online activities, and we've talked as a family about cyber dangers, like how to conduct herself and the situations to avoid. It's all sheer madness, and I feel like I've lost my daughter to the computer. Ooh, that is a really heavy statement to make. She says she feels like she's lost her daughter to the computer. And I'm willing to bet that she is very much not alone. And there are some of you listening out there who can relate that your son or daughter seems to just have been totally consumed by some device or some game or some online habit, tech habit. She says this despite our lackluster and limited opportunities to encourage her to read, do chores around the house, go play on our new spring-free trampoline, which they recently bought to try to lure her outdoors. What is also difficult is that we do not live in a development or a place where she can just go outside and be socially distant with neighbor kids. Oh, she says, I need a glass of wine after all that. I hear you, sis. I need a glass of wine, too. I really feel for you. I'm not here to judge. I mean, you've done the best that you can. On this one, I will say, because the mother herself feels and thinks and knows that this is becoming a problem for her daughter, some sort of intervention is going to have to be needed. However, they're trying. They got the trampoline. Perhaps if there's enough interest, we can do some research and start interviewing people around the topic of gaming addiction and similar matters. There's a big enough need for that, because it's certainly something I hear about all the time. And as a former youth mental health worker myself, it's something I encountered all the time as well. And it sounds like, on the bright side, this mother is aware and, you know, has tried to help the daughter be safe and is aware that there's a problem. And that's the first part. That's the first step toward coming up with a strategy for change. And there are no easy answers. And I wish there was more I could say, but Kathy and I are not experts. But thank you so, so much for sharing. And I truly wish your daughter could be in summer camp as well. I know that doesn't help anything, but I know that she's not alone and that a lot of people listening are going to be relating to the whole computer addiction thing. So we have another mother who has a 10-year-old daughter at home since March, and her work schedule is more like 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. So I'm guessing on and off or whatnot. However, her daughter is super self-sufficient and will be perfectly happy playing on the computer and phone and watching TV, so I'm lucky in that regard. I do stop work for short times throughout the day, mostly to make her food, as she has a chronic illness that requires me to make all her food from scratch. Wow. So just her grabbing snacks from the pantry or fridge really isn't happening. She does complain that I'm on the phone for work too much, and the times she does want me to go to the pool with her, our time is cut short for a work call or task. She complains to me often, but I explain to her that we need to be thankful that I can work from home and stay with her at this time. If my boss wasn't so understanding, I would be at the office and not be with her at all. I do feel guilt now and then, but I quickly remind myself of the same thing that I tell her. I truly am lucky to be here and be present with her, even if it's the constantly interrupted presence. Well, that was so eloquent. So choosing gratitude is a really powerful thing, and I commend this mother for doing that and modeling that and teaching that lesson. I'm sure it's not easy, and, you know, a lot of us have very valid feelings of frustration and fear and anger about all this, and we don't want to be positive in a fake, toxic way. However, this mother is really choosing gratitude, and it seems like it's very sincere, and, you know, as hard as it is, she has found things to be grateful for, absolutely. Again, as a former youth crisis worker myself, I would often, you know, be in contact with kids who kind of went down at the deep, dark end of the computer, phone, and TV, and perhaps we'll have a show on that in the future, not just with the gaming that I was alluding to earlier, but just on ways to, I don't even know how to put it other than not lose your child and have them grow up too fast. ways for them to learn how to cope with their inner life and live with some degree of quiet and silence and reality. And it's hard because these devices are so freaking addicting, especially for parents. I mean, sorry, for kids, especially for kids, but even for parents, right? I struggle with addiction myself. I mean, you heard that the 8-year-old didn't even want to jump on her spring-free brand new trampoline, and that's saying a lot. I mean, that's a great purchase, but the computer is so alluring and addicting, and so we're getting a lot of feedback on this. We're going to do more content on this. We're going to reach out to experts around this. I mean, I have my experience, but it's a problem now because so many of us, especially those who are working, actually, you know, kind of have no choice, it feels, and it's hard to see another way. So I truly can't judge. I truly can't. I do have concerns, but we all share those same concerns, and we're all doing the best that we can, and we really just need to support each other. And those of us who are not working right now, like me, need to step up our support to the extent possible, you know, out of respect, because I was a working mom, and I can't imagine doing it now with the pandemic. So we have another mother who is working full-time and has a child in the 6 to 12 age range. Specifically, she has a 6-year-old who has ADHD. She says, I'd love to comment that we make tons of time for crafts and Pinterest projects and learning, etc., but working full-time from home with my 6-year-old only child who has ADHD is incredibly difficult. She says, yes, I have all of those sweet plans. I have all of those sweet plans and the best of intentions to not let technology get out of control, but it happens some days. Heck, most days. My husband works outside the home on swing shifts, so that adds another wrench in it as well, because then it's all like, shh, daddy's sleeping, quiet. So that is a lot to juggle. She says, some days I feel like I'm failing all of us. But I do make sure that I am intentional about the moments that I can provide undivided attention to my son. We do things, walks, play his made-up games, dance-offs, bake cookies, and anything I can do to get a giggle out of him and love on him. Life is hard right now for so many, and all in different ways. My best advice is to give yourself, your kiddos, and others around you as much grace as possible until life can settle into a new normal. I am blessed that my work is full-time but flexible. If I don't get everything done during the day, I can stay up after bedtime and wrap it up. But most days, I just use my lunch hour to hang out with the kiddo and make it impactful. And yes, I do also keep my phone on me so I don't miss anything urgent. It's the best we can do during this crazy time. Thank you so much for your response. I wish I had a name for this one, but wasn't that incredible? I hope that this parent knows how well they're doing. I hope this mother, this one is a mother, knows how incredible. I'm not here to make a value judgment, but it truly sounded, did it not, that she didn't even know. Some of us don't even know how awesome we are in these incredibly difficult circumstances. And it is appreciated. Your kid may not be saying, hey, mom and dad, I appreciate you. But on some level, they gotta know. I mean, I look back on my own mom who was a single parent, and there was not a day when I didn't appreciate her, even when I was a cranky biatch. So speaking of which, maybe that's not fair, but we're moving on to the teenagers. We only had a few teen responses. I'll try to get more if there's an interest. You can email about that. But here is one from JM. She says she works from home full time, but my only child is a teen, so I think it's easier for me as she pretty much entertains herself. She's had a couple of friends over and goes to their house on occasion. With this COVID time, I'm trying to keep her circle small and only at the friends' homes. No shopping malls or public spaces at this point. I'm still freaking out about school starting. She wants to go back, but I'm torn. Yeah, torn. I think this is pretty representative, I'm guessing, of a lot of the parents and how they're feeling torn about the options, you know, really tough choices to make. Now, here are some where I wasn't sure about the age of the child. These ones came in through our Mothers of Only Children group. Thank y'all from the group, if any of you are listening, for your responses. It's been incredible to read them. I really appreciate you giving us a window on your life and how you're doing. This one you're going to love. I wish you could see it, y'all. This is me, Jamie, telling you. But this woman just sent pictures of just like a sewing basket teeming with like things just sprawled out over the floor with the yarn and the, I don't know, I don't sew. I don't know what all it is. The needles and the threads and the fabrics and the closet with the shelves all over. But the point was everything was just a total mess. And I'm not one to judge on that, believe me, because, you know, I am an adult with diagnosed ADHD. I am not ashamed of that. I'm very, very open about it. And it's not an excuse, but one thing that I do know is that ordering my environment is not my strong suit. And so I feel you. So she says, this is our life. Projects started, never seem to get all finished at the same time. Sometimes it drives me crazy. It is what it is. Amen. It is what it is, right? We are surviving. Anyway, we had another mom who said, this is from MRS. She said, I wouldn't say I work 9 to 5. I work 7 a.m. to 8:15, 9 a.m. to 11, 1 to 3, 4:30 to 6:30, 8:30 to 10 p.m. You get the idea. And that's probably a lot of you as well. I'm just sort of, you know, hammering it out throughout the day when you can. Yeah, so I'm just checking to see if we have any more responses. Here's one who has an only child who goes to the in-laws 3 days out of the week. Isn't that great to have that option? The only child goes to the in-laws for 3 days. And this mother starts working at 5 a.m. so she can have a couple of hours to herself before little one gets home. So I hope that any of these suggestions and sharings have been helpful. If only if it helps you feel less alone, validated in all you're doing, in all you're juggling. And hopefully, maybe you picked up on some specific tips, techniques, products, ideas, either from listening or if you go look at the show notes from reading what I will list out that I pulled from all these responses, which will help you either pass the time or help inspire you and your child so that they can do something fun, creative, what have you. No pressure, but I truly hope that this has been useful. I always talk about how we have hired a virtual babysitter. Now, it's only about half an hour, 1 or 2 days a week, but my daughter, who is 4 and a half and is a talker, just really looks forward to those Zoom calls. And in their case, they talk about animals, but the way that we found a virtual babysitter is I just asked around. It's not like a profession. I mean, our virtual babysitter is 14, but he is very professional, though, and we really appreciate him. And he's a lovely young man, lovely boy, who just gives my daughter attention. And again, they just talk about animals, or they'll say, you know, what would you like to talk about today? And so maybe that could be of help. You know, some stimulation, some connection for your child, or give you a little bit of a break. I don't know if that applies. But again, I hope that some of this was at least a little bit helpful to you. And we look forward to your feedback. And just once again, you are not a failure. If you're listening to this, you're probably an intentional, thoughtful parent who is doing your best. And your only child will be okay. Thank you.